Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hiya, folks. You're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 143 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on June the 5th, 2017. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Pete. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day, and we want to share that magic with you. So pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Kevin.
It's been a while, my friend. I apologize for that.
I know. June 5th. Wow, it's hard to... The year's flying by.
Yeah, I know, right? So, we got a little derailed. I was a little under the weather 2 weeks ago, and then Memorial Day happened, and neither of us realized it was coming up. And I remember I was driving to Memorial Day plans, and all of a sudden I was just like, hey, it's Monday, isn't it? And you were like...
Wait, Memorial Day is normally on a Monday, isn't it?
Yeah, like, it was Monday. And, like, the time we're normally doing the show, and we're just... And you're like, yeah, I'm having a barbecue. And I'm like, yeah. And unfortunately, Mondays are really kind of the only days we can do this. So, like, we kind of have to both be available on a Monday for it to happen. So when Mondays
the
come along, we're...
Line.
What?
We have to get the perfect planetary alignment for
exactly.
Us to be able to do this.
And you know what? It never feels right to do the show like without you. So like it's almost to the point where like when we don't match up on a Monday, I'm just kind of like we're just not going to do a show because it doesn't feel right.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. So your position here is safe, Peter Mandel.
Thank you.
you've got job security.
Woo.
Anyway, moving along, we have got news this week, and boy, do we have a lot of news. The news is going to encompass the entirety of the show this week, as we are catching up on pretty much a month's worth of Disney news.
You know, news episodes are my favorite.
Yes, but a lot of things can happen in Walt Disney World in a period of a month.
Right.
And lots of things did happen. I mean, we said goodbye to some classic shows and attractions. We said hello to some new things. So... there's a lot to talk about.
Good, let's do it.
Yep, and I will say, a lot of the new things I have not yet experienced, I have not had the time really to get over to Disney lately. So a lot of this is going to be pontificating and conjecture, and we'll, you know, I'll go see them soon, but like there will be a few things where I won't know as much about.
Well, pontificating is what we do best.
Yes, and it's what the show was for the first, 90-something episodes, so.
That's right.
Okay, folks, so the news this week, as always, brought to you by our good friend Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Also can plan your Disney cruise and Universal Orlando vacations as well. I saw a Disney cruise ship the other day.
Oh, really?
I was driving to Cocoa Beach, and I had to go through Port Canaveral. And,
okay.
That's where they take. That's their home port. So, yeah, there it was.
Do you know which boat it was?
Yeah, and then I went on the beach to watch the rocket launch, the space launch, and then I got to see the Disney cruise ship on like while I was on the beach actually set sail.
Oh, neat.
I didn't get to hear it do its, but you know,
you just imagined it.
I pictured it. Yeah, it was
right.
Okay, so first and foremost, on any other day a week I'd be like, this is the biggest news topic this week, but worldwide news. Disney has unveiled kind of a game changer. It is the My Disney Experience mobile food ordering system.
All right,
it's currently live, so you're gonna like this, Peter Mandel. I can already tell.
Okay, good. Give me the details.
So on the My Disney Experience app, there is now a tab for ordering food.
Okay.
So what you do is now a lot of places and eateries outside of Disney also adopt this. Dunkin' Donuts has a model for it. I know a bunch of others do. I typically use the Dunkin' Donuts one like on my way to work in the morning to get a cup of coffee. So what you do is you go on the app, you select your restaurant, which right now there are only two. you order your food, you pay for your food via linked credit card, and then you you know, when you arrive at the restaurant, you click that you're there, and then you sit down, and then the app alerts you when your food is ready, and you walk up and pick it up.
Now, let me ask you a question. Does this work with the meal plan?
I was just about to get to that. It does not currently work with the dining plan. So if you are using the dining plan, you currently have to wait in line, but I'm assuming there will be something in the works. Right now, it launched only with one restaurant. That was the Satuli Canteen in Pandora, the World of Avatar.
Right.
It has since added, or it will be adding tomorrow, Pizzafari in Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
So,
listen, as an idea, I think it's great.
It's something a lot of places are doing.
I think a lot of people... Now, I understand that, like, using your meal credits has to be tough. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be, like, some way to figure out how to do it. But I do understand that it probably is tough for them.
I mean, I can't imagine it being that tough. Like, if it's connected to your My Disney Experience, and that's where your meal
plan is. I
know,
right? You're right. I mean, it does make sense. Your meal credits are on there. There has to be a way.
I give it 6 months before those meal credits are on there.
Yeah. And you know, even for me trying to look, you know, silver lining, I'm okay with the fact that, you know, a lot of people are going to use this. So maybe lines will be shorter when I got to be honest with you, I'm on vacation. I don't mind walking up to a counter service, you know, thing and grabbing food. Like, I don't need to do it on my phone.
Right.
You know, if the option was there, I mean, I guess I would. But, you know, sometimes ordering food is a last second. What do they have? I'm looking on the board kind of thing, especially with kids. So, you know, either way, I think I like the option. But I don't know, you know, if it is necessarily a game changer for me personally. But I like that people are going to use it and it's going to free up lines.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's pretty cool. Okay. Moving along, we're going into Disney Springs news. You know my love of the Disney Springs.
Yes, I do.
Preferred parking has come to Disney Springs.
Okay.
Preferred parking, obviously, in all the parks, now coming to Disney Springs. So what is preferred parking? It gives you a spot up close. In Disney Springs, preferred parking is the Grapefruit Lot, which is outdoor parking right by Cirque du Soleil. So it's a very short walk. Valet parking's over by there as well.
Now, what does this cost?
$10.
You know, my wife is actually a big fan of preferred parking. Now,
really?
It's rare that we go someplace where we're paying for parking. I don't know. Like, usually if we're in Disney World, we don't have a car, you know. But, like, I can remember in previous times from having gone to Great Adventure or Universal Studios, like, when we rented a car, she is, like, a sucker for preferred parking. She loves it. She's like, let's get the preferred parking. And I'm always like, really? Like, I have no need for preferred parking ever. But she's like, nope, I think we should do that.
I always kind of thought of it as, like, burning money, like, just taking money out of your wallet, lighting it on fire.
I know. It's one of her – now, granted, when I say that she likes it, I mean, maybe in our, you know, 20-year relationship, she's done it 5 times. But to me, that's crazy because I wouldn't have done it those 5 times.
I want to say that preferred parking at the parks is, like, it's, like, $35 or $40. And
as compared to?
20.
Okay. Wow. So, like, double.
Yeah, so but as a pass holder, you just pay the difference if you want preferred parking. Or as a resort guest, you would pay the difference, too.
See, in my mind, I'd be like, can I go buy a $20 t-shirt instead?
Exactly. I can, you know, they have trams in the parking
souvenir.
Lot. They have the trams. It's not the end of the world.
Did you know Universal, just a little note here while I just thought of it. You know, we're going to stay at Universal on this
trip. I'm so excited for you.
Me too. I think it's going to be fun. We're going to have a car. Did you know they make you pay to park at the hotels?
Do they really?
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
Now, let me tell you something. In California, this is a huge thing. You pay to park anywhere. I don't care if you're going to Disney Hotel, you're going anywhere, you pay to park. I guess it's a California thing. I never really think of it for Orlando because Disney would never make a resort guest pay to park at the resort. That's crazy.
And to be perfectly honest, they don't really care very much about the parking at the parks either. Like,
right. I mean, they're pretty lax about it. You know, I mean, they're not going to try and go hardcore about that.
Typically, I'll hold out my magic band for them to scan and I'll just get waved right through. Like, they don't even check.
Right.
It could be a magic band that's 3 years old that, you know, hasn't worked in forever. Sometimes they do scan. One time in the early morning, they even asked for my ID. Universal, they want that $20 from you, dude. They want it. They check not only my pass, but they take my driver's license, too, to make sure. that it's made.
Well, I mean, I understand paying at the park, like if you're going to a park for the day. But I mean, like, so I'm going to be staying at Universal, like at the hotel. So I asked Dave, because, you know, Dave is just a wealth of knowledge.
Of course he
and
is.
I knew he would know. And I don't even know why I asked. I assume I didn't have to pay, but I just got back from Disneyland when I booked us. So I'm like, hey, do you know if at Universal I have to pay to park? And he's like, yeah, I think it's $20 or $25 a day. I'm like, what?
At the resort.
I was kind of only joking, but I guess.
No, you know what? Actually, you know what, Pete? I don't think that's right.
Really?
I think he thought you were talking about the parks.
Oh, okay. Well,
because
then
I remember I stayed at a Universal Resort and I didn't have to pay for parking.
I apologize for this tirade.
Yeah, I think honestly, I feel in hearing that explanation, I think you understood Dave wrong in that instance.
Yeah, I might have. Maybe Dave just got my gist wrong.
Yeah, because $20 to $25 is what it is to park at the parks.
Dave, if you could double check that.
Yeah. But now, which resort are you staying at?
I am staying at, geez, I don't even know the name. I know
Portofino,
it's...
Portofino? Is it Cabana Bay?
Keep going.
Those are the only two that I really know the name of.
Oh, man, we're terrible at this. It is Pacific, Royal Pacific.
Oh, the Royal Pacific. Okay. There's got to be a bus. And there's also a walking path you could take.
Yeah, I assumed I would walk to the parks, right? I mean...
I will tell you... I don't really remember where the Royal Pacific is, but like from Cabana Bay, it was a hike.
How much of a hike?
Like enough of a hike where I can't see you doing it.
Really? I mean, I'm a walker.
Yeah, but you complained about Caribbean Beach, like staying at the pirate rooms.
Well, but they're in the middle of nowhere.
I would say from Cabana Bay, it was a comparable walk.
Caribbean Beach literally runs an inter-resort bus because that's how far apart these things are. I don't know. I think I'll be okay walking. I don't mind walking to the studios when I'm staying at Beach Club.
Okay, well then you'll be fine then. Okay.
But while we're on the topic of my trip, real fast, I also looked up the times for my trip. You know, Universal, not Islands, but Universal on the 2 days I'm there in November closes at 5.
Yeah.
5.
Yeah, that's Universal,
like,
in the fall,
Harry,
man.
Harry Potter, go to Gringotts, closes at 5. Could you imagine if, like, I don't know, Magic Kingdom decided to close at 5 one day?
You know what? Insane. Like, actually, like, that's really early. Like, I remember them closing
really
at, like,
early.
7 and me getting mad about it. And, like...
5 o'clock. Now, I will say Islands on the 2 days I'm there are closed at 8.
Okay.
I guess everybody goes to Islands of Adventure because they're open at 8, like, every day. And Universal closes at 5 every day. But 5 o'clock, I mean, that's not even dinner time.
Yeah.
Just goes to show, they literally have no restaurants there.
And honestly, I feel that Universal is the superior park of the two of them.
Right now, I do too. They have so much new stuff, you know, in the last 5 years.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so moving along.
I completely got you off track from this preferred park.
Moving along, in further Disney Springs news, the store D-Living has reopened with a new theme. The theme is Outdoors in the Summer. Or summer outdoors or whatnot. So D-Living is a Disney, like, it's like a Disney merch store, but like high-end merch, like merch for the home.
Right.
Like china and utensils and things like that, like nice stuff. But the thing is, every season they close for 5 days and they redo the store with the new theme for the season. Like last season, it was Beauty and the Beast. So everything in the store was Beauty and the Beast. The walls had like Beauty and the Beast murals on it. Now it is all about the summer.
Okay.
I think that's kind of a lame theme, but, you know.
That's an easy one.
Yeah, I suppose. Okay, so resort news. So, you know, a lot of people ask us all the time, what are the best resorts to view the fireworks from?
Right.
Some people actually try to go to Narcoozie's for the view of the Seven Seas Lagoon and the... was then Wishes, now is Happily Ever After. However, now through the middle of June... refurbishments to Narcoozie's are impacting fireworks views. So if you have a Narcoozie's fireworks time, you know, reservation in the next week or so, you might want to change it.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, so there's like scaffolding and stuff in the way. Like, really not what you want to see when you're eating at a place like Narcoozie's, which I believe is signature dining, right?
Yeah, and I saw that Narcoozie's is bringing back, I believe. I mean, it might be wrong, but I think they're bringing back the surf and turf, the steak and lobster. Ooh. Which is a must-have.
In water park news, Blizzard Beach's annual refurbishment taking place this October, starting October the 30th, and going until January the 6th. It's a long time to be skimming that pool.
Well, it's a big pool.
Yeah. Okay, further Blizzard Beach news. The Frozen Summer Games are now underway at Blizzard Beach. And honestly, I think Disney listens to this show sometimes. You'll hear. You got Team Olaf versus Team Kristoff with fun family activities like ice pail relays, slide races, snowball tosses, and ski pole limbo, live music with a DJ, and Kristoff and Olaf meet and greets.
There you go.
Right? Like, that's a game changer.
I mean, it won't get me there, but yes. But why have they not always done this?
Got me. Like, Frozen characters should have always been at Blizzard Beach.
Of course.
Okay, moving on to Magic Kingdom news. But, oh, by the way, now that's a game changer also, because I believe it's the only place you can meet Kristoff.
I've never heard of meeting Kristoff, yeah, so I'm going to assume yes.
That's a big thing. Magic Kingdom news. Tickets are now on sale for the holiday parties, Not So Scary and Very Merry Christmas parties. You can call your travel agent to make those make those reservations, or you can, you know, make them on the Disney website or through My Disney Experience app.
Or go to our buddy Dave.
Now, big thing just happened in Magic Kingdom. A big, huge opening. A big new thing that has just come back.
Okay. Oh, wait. Let me guess. Stitch's Great Escape.
Stitch's Great Escape is reopened at the Magic Kingdom for the summer.
I feel it, even in New Jersey.
Yep. You could smell that chili burp in the air.
You know, Ethan in the car the other day was like, you know, I think I've been on every single Disney ride. Like, can you think of any I haven't been on? So I'm kind of like scouring. I'm like, nah, I'm pretty sure you've been on everything. And he's like, you know, I haven't done Stitch's Great Escape. I know it's not a ride. And I'm like, well, you know what? Next time we go, inevitably my daughter will want to go home early one night because she gets pooped. Uh-huh. I'm like, maybe me and you will go and do Stitch's Great Escape. He's like, is it really as bad as like you say it is? I'm like, I'm going to let you judge for yourself, but yes.
When is your next trip?
November.
So it probably won't be open.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Only reopened from May 27th to August 19th. And on those days, only from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Hmm. Universal hours.
Yeah, pretty much. So now the big news coming out of Magic Kingdom is that the Wishes situation. But we will save that, Peter Mandel, for after our commercial break. We're going to take a break, hear from our wonderful sponsors and the rest of the White Dragon Podcast Network, and then we'll be back with the rest of the news, picking up with the removal of Wishes.
Nice.
You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier and makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You give them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends how his name on.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. If you and your family are taking a trip to the Orlando area this year, your little ones deserve to stroll in style. Lugging a stroller from home can be an annoying and frustrating part of the first leg of your journey, and renting those hard plastic strollers from Disney theme parks can be both costly and uncomfortable for your kids. Well, I'm here to tell you about the solution to your child transport problems, and that's Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is a Disney-featured stroller and crib provider that does exactly what you're looking for at a great price. Not only is it less expensive than renting a stroller from the theme parks themselves, but these are padded luxury models with features like drink holders, canopies, storage baskets, and more. What's more, you keep this stroller with you for your entire trip, whereas park-rented strollers, you gotta return them before you leave the park that day. This is gonna make those late-night post-fireworks bus stop queues so much easier, and dad's shoulders are gonna thank you for it. So, how does it work? You just go to kingdomstrollers.com and make your selection on the stroller or crib that's right for your child. Just let the good folks over there know a great time for delivery and pickup and where you'll be staying. You can pick your stroller or crib up from the luggage stand at your resort and then drop them back off there at the end of your stay. So pack light, leave your stroller at home, and save up to a whopping 50% versus park price stroller rentals when you visit kingdomstrollers.com.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
Do you like the Disney parks? I do too. So does my little sister. That's why we started a podcast about them. Hi, I'm Dimitri Ravanis. The name of our show is The Extra Magic Hour. You can hear new episodes each and every Thursday here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. You can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, in addition to telling you what we love about the parks and doling out some news and tips, we'll do something a little different. We'll tell you what we hate about the parks, where the mouse can improve, and we'll do some fighting. Well, not fighting. We call it friendly debate. Things that Disney fans have been debating and arguing about forever and ever. You'll hear them played out in real time between a brother and a sister every Thursday right here on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
And we're back, folks. We are back with more Two Men and the Mouse action. More of the news coming at you. All this news that we missed over the last month. You ready to jump back into it?
Yep.
All right. So we are still in the midst of Magic Kingdom-y goodness. Well, not so much Magic Kingdom-y goodness. More like Magic Kingdom-y, I don't want to say sadness, but we'll say a more melancholy Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
Because Wishes has left us after 13 years in operation.
But we got to look at this as a bright side.
Yes. Now, are you going to... Did you see the pictures of the last night of Wishes, like the Main Street pictures?
No.
I've never seen it like that.
Why? Were people going crazy?
It was just, you couldn't see the ground. I've never seen it that crowded, and I've been there on the 4th of July.
I mean, people have an attachment to Wishes.
They really do, dude. Like, it was like, I feel like if I had gone there for that, I'd have been like, this is awesome, I'm here for the last Wishes. And then Wishes would have started, and I've been like, okay, it's Wishes again. Like,
right.
I've seen it a million, billion, zillion times.
Yeah, I'm not a big fireworks show person in general, so I don't have an attachment. You know, I mean, honestly, my fireworks show of choice is Illuminations. Now, if Epcot announced, hey, we're done with Illuminations and we're going to make something else, I'd be like, oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah,
I don't have an I have attachments to rides and restaurants and things like that, but fireworks shows, I never really, you know, I never really had that kind of attachment to
it. I understand.
I know people do, though.
Oh, plenty of people do. Wishes was a huge thing for a lot of people.
Right.
But with death comes rebirth, Peter Mandel, and a new purpose. And that is why the next night they unveiled Magic Kingdom's new nighttime fireworks show called Happily Ever After, which I have sadly have not gotten to see yet.
Okay. Surprised.
Yeah.
I know you're busy.
Yeah, it's just been way too busy. Magic Kingdom and I are kind of on a break for the summer. Because it's just, the last couple of times I've been there, it's just been too much, like too crowded. They got rid of the barbecue slaw dog from Casey's.
Oh, and you're burned about that?
They got rid of I think they got rid of the pot roast mac and cheese. But you can still get the barbecue slaw dog in at Min and Bill's Dockside Diner in Hollywood.
Okay.
Studios. So, not so much for the pot roast mac and cheese, but. I don't understand why they do that. Like they have these wildly popular meal items and they just remove them. I'm pretty sure the cheeseburger spring rolls are gone from Adventureland too.
Really?
Like they are purging Magic Kingdom of my favorite snacks.
Well, those sounded gross. So
they are wonderful. Don't you ever say anything bad about them again.
But do they still have the carrot cake cookie? Is that what it was?
Well, yeah, it's the second most popular snack in all of Walt Disney World.
Because, I mean, they could, from a financial point of view, they could never get rid of that. I mean, the park would go into flux.
I will say every listener that eats that for the first time comes to me and they're like, Pete is out of his mind. This is an amazing snack.
I'm sure it's amazing. I actually really like carrot cake. So one day maybe I'll get one. I think I was more just like, it was the shock of you telling me this is the second most popular snack item in Disney World.
Yeah, that's what I've been told.
I can't imagine they sell more of them at two locations than they do the popcorn, pretzels.
I don't think it's that they sell more of them. I think that in like votes and stuff, it has been voted.
Votes
the second.
In what? Where voted? Where?
I don't know.
Does Disney have some grand like Oscar type award ceremony?
You're gonna need to ask the guy that was working at the writer's stop about 2 years ago. All right, so moving along into Epcot news. Agent P's World Showcase Adventure. Remember how you were saying it's on borrowed time?
Right.
Apparently not. They just upgraded it.
Oh, nice. How?
Yeah, well, now you don't have to go to the kiosk in order to start playing.
How can you do it?
You go on your smartphone or tablet device to agentpwsa.com and you start playing.
That's awesome.
That's really awesome.
I hope they have enough signage to let people know.
I'm sure they will. And I'm sure the kiosks will still be there for a while.
I mean, that should be on every Epcot map that comes out. Hey, you know, you can just go and do this on your own.
Yeah, you don't have to sit there and wait. And like, it was always a thing like you had to remember to return that little phone. And you've been able to do it on your phone for a while now, but you still had to go to the kiosk, boot up the website,
right.
And then the cast members there would activate the game. But now you can
right.
just go on the website and do it.
That sounds awesome.
They are now offering, and I actually saw this in action and didn't realize what it was, a specialty cruise around the World Showcase Lagoon.
Okay. What specialty how?
Well, it takes off from the yacht boat, from the yacht club in the pontoon boats.
Okay.
It's a 60-minute cruise that goes all over Crescent Lake and into Epcot around World Showcase Lagoon. It provides bagged snacks and soft drinks. Private dining is optional to make it a lunch. And the price is $149 plus tax and gratuity per boat.
Ooh, okay.
I was walking from Studios to Epcot, and I saw all these pontoon boats going by toward Epcot, and they all had like banners on them, like "Happy Anniversary" or "Happy Birthday." And I was just like, "Oh wow, there's a lot of people just rented boats at the same time." And then it's that specialty cruise that takes off.
Oh, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm all
so
listen.
$150 a boat.
$150 per boat. So if you're going out with a group of, like, if you're going out like an adult group with, like, you know, five, six, the pontoon boats, I think, hold like 9 people. So,
right.
You know, you're talking less than $20 per head.
How long is this cruise?
An hour.
Okay.
With snacks and soft drinks, and you can add on lunch to it. I don't know what the lunch add-on is, but. Animal Kingdom news. We need to. Oh, so I said that they've as of tomorrow, June 6th, the mobile ordering is launching for Pete Safari. But we can now keep going with the. I want to talk a little bit about the opening for Pandora.
Okay.
Because yes, I was there for our last episode. We talked a lot about Pandora, so I'm not going to go through like the nitty gritty of it. However, there are a few things I wanted to touch on. Chief of which being how crowded it was. Because I went with our friends, the Lawson family.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they went on the Sunday of Memorial Day, and so I went with them. I met them there. I thought we were meeting at park opening, but the park, they switched the hours. It was actually opening an hour earlier. By the time we got there, there was an hour and a half to 2 hour wait to get in to Pandora.
Well, I mean, isn't that traditionally how Harry Potter was, or, you know, any of the new themed lands that open?
It's just crazy to me that, like, that many people. Because, like, we're so, you know, in Animal Kingdom, when you walk in, you could either go to the left or the right. So we go to the left, and I see people, like, in line for something. And I'm like, uh-oh, I have a bad feeling about this. And sure enough, it was the line to get into Pandora.
That's awful.
So we went around, and we did, like, some other stuff, but then we circled back around, and we ended up getting right in.
Okay.
Because we the fast passes for the river journey. So I did the river journey again.
Yeah, now let me ask you a question just real quick. So let's say there is a line to get into Pandora, and you have a fast pass for this ride in 5 minutes.
They let you in.
Oh, okay.
Reservations and fast passes bypass the line.
Okay.
But yeah, we got on the line, though, and it moved. It moved really quick, and we got right in. So it was a hot day, dude, like really hot. And it's an Animal Kingdom, so it's really, really hot. And, you know, experiencing Pandora with shoulder-to-shoulder people was definitely a different experience. Now, wait times. The river journey was about, I think, 3.5 hours at one point when I looked.
That's crazy.
Yeah, especially for that ride. It's super short. Flight of Passage was upwards of 5 hours.
Insane.
5 hours. Like, I will say, Peter Mandel, Flight of Passage is probably the one ride in all of the world that I would wait an hour for.
An hour.
I would probably, you know what? I'd wait 2 hours. If I had a book with me, I'd wait 2 hours.
What if you were writing a book?
I can't write a book in a line.
Why?
It's, you just can't. You got to keep like moving and stuff like that. You just can't do that. But if I was reading on my Kindle or something like that, I could do a 2 hour wait for that, right? It's worth it.
Okay.
No more than that. That's my limit. It's been kind of falling around 2 hour mark the last couple days. So I think it's kind of evened out at that. But I mean, it was insane. It was a huge wait to get into the gift shop.
I know my buddy was trying to get a Banshee and the line was just so long.
Well, now you can't. They are completely, and I mean completely, sold out of the Banshees now.
How could that be possible?
They were not. I don't think they were expecting it to be as cool as it is.
This would be like Harry Potter, like selling out at Wands.
Yeah. So there was actually, I saw the news article on Facebook the other day, and they actually showed you the wall. It's just completely empty. There are no Banshees on the wall.
Well, they had better have some by November.
Well, the cast members were saying that it's going to be a few weeks.
Yeah. I mean, production usually takes a little while. I mean, these already have gone to production, so I mean, it's not like they're, you know, tooling them or figuring out how to do them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I bet you know, it'll take a month.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's a gross, like not since Stitch has there been this much of an underestimation as to the popularity of something.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Or Baby Groot. Yeah.
Ironically, when Guardians of the Galaxy came out, they were so positive that Rocket was going to be the thing everyone loves.
Really?
They made a lot of Rocket merchandise. Yeah. And they made nothing for Baby Groot. And I'm not talking about Groot, but I mean literally potted Groot from the end scene of the movie.
Oh.
And, you know, that movie came out in May.
Oh, you're talking the first Guardians. Because I'm like, Guardians 2 is all Baby Groot.
Oh, right. It's all Groot. And they just, you know, desperately had to come out with, you know, Baby Groot. I mean, people were making their own. And eventually, by Christmas, right about Christmas, because if you're doing it from scratch, it takes about 6-7 months, they finally got out Baby Groot stuff.
I remember you had the Baby Groots in the pot in the shop.
Yeah, the dancing ones. Yeah. Those things sold like gangbusters.
Yeah. Now, I also had the pineapple cream cheese spring rolls in Pandora.
Okay, how's that?
One of the best snacks I've ever had.
Are they like blue or some weird color?
No, they look like a normal spring roll, but like it's like a great blend of savory and sweet.
Are you sure that the recipe is authentic Pandoran?
You know what? I'm not sure if they're using pineapple or some kind of alien fruit, but
right.
You know, we will investigate and get back to you guys.
The must.
Yes. Do you have any intention of watching Avatar before your trip?
Yeah. Actually, Ethan's never seen it.
Ah, okay.
So we are going to watch it before we go at some point, probably sooner than later. It's a matter of blocking out 8 hours or however long the movie is.
Right.
To actually sit through it.
Yeah, 8 hours. You know what? I've been meaning to watch it again and then go back to Pandora, but I don't know. I just can never justify the time commitment to sit down and watch that movie.
Well, I know. Listen, I've been telling Ethan we're going to watch this for about 6 months and we still haven't done it yet, but we will.
Here's the thing. Like, I sit down to watch it. I put it on. I get like into the title sequence and I turn it right off. I'm like, I can't right now.
I've never seen the beginning, so I have never seen literally how the movie opens. I can't even tell you what the first scene is.
What, did you walk into the theater late?
No, I didn't see it in the theater.
Huh.
I was not like, you know, I need to be transported to this land like everyone else. So I've seen it on TV a whole bunch of times. I mean, I'm positive I've seen 95% of the movie here and there, but I've never sat down and watched it straight through. And in turn, I've literally never seen the very beginning of the movie.
That's very interesting.
Does it have like an awesome opening scene that I don't know about?
Honestly, dude, I don't remember. I haven't seen it since 2009.
Oh, okay.
So, all right. So, and now we have actually some backstory on, so there are two like groups that are making it so the human, expansion is allowed to happen on Pandora now, and that is Ace and PCI. So you ready to hear their stories?
Yes.
All right. Let's boot that up. All right. So everything you need to know about Ace and PCI and Pandora. ACE stands for Alpha Centauri Expeditions. It is the fictional eco-tour company that leads expeditions to Pandora. The ACE mission statement is, our dream is that all who crave exciting adventures in nature can find that with ACE. We look forward to helping you discover the wondrous beauty that the world of Pandora has to offer. Founded by Marshall Lamb, I don't know if that's a person from the movie or something like that, ACE has built strong relationships with the Na'vi, the indigenous people of Pandora. Through the Na'vi connections built by Lamb, ACE is able to transport adventure seekers from Earth to Pandora for expeditions into the Valley of Mora, which is where this takes place.
Right.
ACE provides the human guides, food, pathways, bridges, signage, lighting, and all transportation for the human presence on Pandora. It is also implied that ACE provides accommodations on Pandora for humans, though these are not seen. You will see a signage throughout Pandora, which is true. Like everything from the drinking fountains to the garbage cans to the name tags all have, it's all got the ACE logo on it. Now, the Pandora Conservation Initiative, or PCI, is the fictional collective of scientists, xenobiologists, and conservationists who research every aspect of the Pandora ecosystem. A major role of PCI is habitat restoration on Pandora, reversing the environmental damage from irresponsible mining by the Resources Development Administration, or the RDA, which was the movie.
Right.
Besides facilitating travel and presence on Pandora, ACE has played a big role in development of the Na'vi River Journey. According to the story, ACE built the queue area and reed boats that visitors board to travel the river in a bioluminescent rainforest. At Avatar Flight of Passage, PCI was responsible for refining the Avatar program, which is now offered to human visitors to Pandora. The PCI technology and its Mountain Banshee project allows visitors to connect to their own avatar and fly atop a banshee over Pandora. The queue for Avatar Flight of Passage passes through the PCI Mountain Banshee project labs, where scientists are working to reverse habitat destruction. That's everything you need to know about that.
Okay. Look at that.
Do you feel like you know a lot more now?
Absolutely nothing.
Was this this is not an informative thing about all these made up things that don't matter?
Yep.
Okay, so you know, Disney always has a story, and that's the story.
There it is.
There it is, right there for you. Hollywood Studios news. By the way, before we get into that, it's a good transition to Hollywood Studios. Now, Pandora, Flight of Passage, 5-hour wait. over in Disneyland, Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. I heard upwards of 7 hours at one point.
Okay.
What is Star Wars going to be?
Oh, it's gonna be insane.
It's like that'll be like a 12-hour wait.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy.
It's gonna be much, much worse. There's no way it's not. Because like the 5-hour waits, like you're gonna get that anytime Disney opens something new.
I can't even imagine. Honestly, I won't even lie. I'm not even really looking forward to it.
Star Wars?
I mean, of course I'm looking forward to it, but not the crazy lines that are going to be.
And the no availability for Fast Pass.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be bananas.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not staying on property, you know, if you're 30 days out instead of 60 days out,
you're done.
I mean, there's not going to be.
I mean, I already can't get another Flight of Passage Fast Pass.
Right.
I've been trying for like over a month and I can't get one. So, Hollywood Studios, they have changed the movie preview at Walt Disney One Man's Dream now that Pirates of the Caribbean has come out.
Okay.
It is now Cars 3.
Oh, okay. You have any interest in Cars 3?
No, I've never seen Cars 1 or 2.
Hmm.
So, now also a new show kind of snuck its way into Hollywood Studios. Did you see this?
No, what is it?
It's a new nighttime show that takes place before Star Wars.
Okay.
It's called Disney Movie Magic. It's a projection-based show, kind of similar to, what used to be Celebrate the Magic is now Once Upon a Time. Projection-based show takes 10 minutes. It's 30 minutes before Star Wars, has movie scenes and music projected onto the Chinese theater, and I've heard that it entails Mary Poppins, Pirates of the Caribbean, Tron, Indiana Jones, and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Interesting.
Very interesting. I mean, listen, I'm all for it. Anything new. I mean, as long as they're not taking away the Star Wars show, which they're not.
Yeah, I mean, with these projection-based shows, I mean, honestly, they can change it out, like, so easily. You know, I mean, you can just...
Do you think they're trying to figure out some way to do projection for Epcot now? Because there really is no way to do it.
What do you mean?
Like, the word has it that Illuminations has been on the chopping block for a while now.
All right.
I would assume drones are going to be the way to go for that rather than projection.
All right. I can agree with that.
So, okay. Actually, that's all the news. We actually got through the news much faster than I thought. It's only been like 35 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know what? There have been a couple of movies that come out. You want to talk about them a little bit?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So, you know what? Did you see the video previews for Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout?
I did. It looks awesome.
It looks awesome. All the people that are complaining about Tower of Terror, you can go to Walt Disney World and ride it. Like, this looks unbelievable.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm not a Tower of Terror person.
Yeah, me neither. And famously, I'm not, but I will ride this.
If you told me I could walk there right now and just get on it, it would be hard for me to resist it.
Yeah. I mean, that Rocket Raccoon animatronic.
I know. So cool.
So cool. And I've heard it's different each time. Like, the scenes that you see are different.
Yeah, I read like a synopsis of what all the scenes are.
Uh-huh.
So it sounds awesome.
Yeah. It seems like there's lots of really cool Marvel Easter eggs in there as well.
Oh, definitely.
So, I mean, listen, it's the first, if I'm not mistaken, on U.S. soil, it is the first major Marvel attraction in a Disney park.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
Which, honestly, I was shocked that people were so, like, angered about it and so against it.
Well, I mean, people get attached to any... you know, ride or, you know, people. And I get that.
I mean, there were people that, a lot of people I saw were very level-headed about, and they're just kind of like, hey, give it a chance. Let's see what they do. There's still,
right.
Tower of Terror still exists. It's still in Disney's Hollywood Studios. But, I don't know. People were like, there were lots of people that were like, this is a travesty. And like, they were hating on the Guardians. I'm like, hey, don't you touch my Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Which, that brings us into Disney's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Like, How'd you feel about it?
I liked it a lot. You know, I guess my initial reaction, upon the ending credits was, it's not as good as the first one. And
it's not. In a lot of ways, it's not. It's not as good as the first one.
But I am amazed that, you know, they have a movie that, you know, made my wife teary at the end and, you know, is that funny and that action-packed.
I saw it three times. I really, really enjoyed this movie a lot. I feel like it was more of a comedy than the first one was.
Yes, definitely.
And I don't want to see this become a thing with Marvel. I don't want to see the, like, because DC movies are so devoid of humor. I don't want to see, you know, like Guardians of the Galaxy become the norm for the Marvel universe. And look,
I don't think it is.
You look at that Thor Ragnarok trailer.
Well, the problem with Thor Ragnarok is that guy only directs comedies.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling Thor is going to be a straight up buddy comedy. Buddy, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a way around that.
I just hope it's not going to be the norm for the rest of the Marvel Universe going forward.
I also think that, you know, the previous two Thor movies haven't done as awesome as maybe they would love them to have done.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe they're taking a different route here.
Maybe. I really dug the whole, what do you call it? The soundtrack. I thought the music choices were much better in the second one.
Oh, really? Almost everyone unanimously much preferred the first one.
Yeah, something about the music in this one, man. Like, I really, really liked the
it spoke to you.
Yeah, like the summer nights when Rocket's, like, you know, beating up on the Ravagers. I thought that was great. The right. I love Brandy.
Okay.
So like the fact that song was such a major point of this movie was a big thing for me. That scene where they play the chain,
right?
By Fleetwood Mac, like that scene gets me so pumped. I thought it was just a very, very well done score, or not score, a soundtrack.
Right.
I thought that Chris Pratt knocked it out of the park in this one.
Oh, he's good in everything.
He is, but he was really good in this. Like whereas the last Guardians was very much more an ensemble film, this was very and honestly to its fault at some point in time. If this one just focuses very heavily much on Star-Lord to the point where, like, with the other characters, you're like, well, what are they doing?
Right.
You know who I thought really stole the show? Or there were two characters. One I thought actually took a step backwards and one that I thought took a giant step forwards.
Okay.
I thought Gamora took a step backwards.
She does. I can understand that.
I've seen Karen Gillian act her little heart out. And I don't understand why she does all of her lines through her teeth, you know, like,
well, that's kind of who the character is, you know.
I'm like, come on, like, you sound like, she sounds like Lewis Black.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand. She's literally supposed to be someone who is, like, you know, just crushed by anger. Yeah. You know?
But I don't know. There's other ways to deliver things. And then there was, I thought Yondu was amazing.
Well, yeah, I mean, this was a Yondu heavy movie.
Yeah, Michael Rooker, like, I mean, Michael Rooker stole the show in this one. But now, let me ask you something. I understand that Sylvester Stallone and the others were, like, they're supposed to be, like, the original Guardians, right?
Yes, or as I like to call them, my Guardians, as that's the Guardians I grew up with.
So, do you think they're going to give them a movie, or was that just a really expensive, dumb cameo?
Do you think that Sylvester Stallone is in for the Starhawk franchise? No, it's just a cool cameo. He probably wanted to be in something relevant, you know, that his kids like.
It was funny to me. Like, I was like, do you think James Gunn just had like a couple million sitting around and was like, oh, we came in under budget, let's get Sylvester Stallone in here to say a bunch of made up sci-fi alien words?
Oh, I'm sure Sylvester Stallone wanted to do this. Yeah. I don't think this is them trying to talk you know, him into doing something.
It was really funny to hear him try to say all those words though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I give Guardians, you know, I would say 4 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, me too. You know, my point was that, you know, when I walked out of the theater, I was like, it's not as good as the first one. But you know what? I think this might be a 1 in 1A type situation.
Yeah, well, because here's the thing. The first one is an origin story. It's a teen. This movie is very much a more personal story. Like, you know, it's not about, like, you know, the Xandar war with the Kree and blah, blah, blah. It was very much a personal father and son story, by the way, Kurt Russell, awesome.
Yeah, you know, being a comic guy, of course, you know, when I heard that Ego, the Living Planet, was going to be in this movie, I was immediately like, what? Because that makes no sense.
No, they were never going to have a planet with a face talking.
Although they do have a planet with a face on it. They have a nice little homage.
They have a nice homage to it, yeah.
And this isn't really Ego to me, although Ego has taken human avatars throughout time. So, yeah. I mean, it does. But I'm pleased at the way that they pulled it off.
I have no complaints about Ego. I thought it was, I'm not, we won't give spoilers, but I thought that his character arc was very well done, and I really enjoyed the whole final sequence.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
Pirates of the Caribbean. Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Right.
Did you see it?
I did.
And?
Did you see it?
I did.
What did you think?
I mean, it was better than the last one.
All right, I loved it. I thought it was great.
I think it's probably the third best one.
I would, ooh, man, that's a tough call.
I mean, to me, Curse of the Black Pearl is so high above everything else.
First one's the best.
I mean, Curse of the Black Pearl, I think is one of the greatest movies ever made.
I won't go that far, but it is fantastic.
I will say it's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Right.
If you were to ask me for a top five of my favorite movies, Curse of the Black Pearl is always on it.
No.
Yeah.
Top five any movies or top five Disney movies?
No, my top five movies.
Of any movie.
I really like that movie.
That's in your top five overall movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's one of those films that I can pick up anytime and watch.
That's, I get that.
And to me, that makes a fantastic, like, that makes a favorite movie for me. Like,
all right, so we agree that it's definitely the best, that's the best Pirates movie. You know, I really like, what's the second one called?
Dead Man's Chest.
Oh, you don't like Dead Man's Chest?
I hate Dead Man's Chest.
Really? You like the third one better?
I liked At World's End.
Huh.
At World's End was awesome. They were all betraying each other every 2 seconds, like... Yeah, I thought the fight with Jack and Davy Jones was great. I thought the whole mythology of Davy Jones really comes into...
I like Davy Jones a lot.
Yeah.
I will say, if you wanted me to pinpoint a problem with Dead Men Tell No Tales, this is going to sound crazy, but I feel like Jack Sparrow is actually a character of himself in this.
Okay,
which
yep.
is insane to say that. I know that that's crazy to say.
No, it's not crazy at all, and I was going to make this exact point in a minute. So
he's devoid of everything you genuinely like about the character.
Here's the thing about Jack. Jack Sparrow in Curse of the Black Pearl, and to an extent for Dead Man's Chest and At World's End, is... He's comedic and he's bumbling and he drinks a lot and whatever, but he has these flashes of these moments where you see that it's all a facade and you're like, that is the greatest pirate that's ever lived.
Right. Right. This movie doesn't have that.
None of it. Like
not a little bit.
Everything that happens to him is by mistake.
Yeah. He doesn't have one heroic scene in this.
He drunkenly fumbles his way. I mean, listen, the one thing about Dead Man's Chest that I love is when he comes back to save them from the Kraken at the end.
Right.
That scene where all of a sudden they look back and he's standing on the boat. Like, it's tremendous.
Right.
But, and even At World's End, you know, like, and this happened in the worst of them all, which was, what was on Stranger Tides?
Right.
The Blackbeard one.
Terrible.
It's awful. I can't with that movie. Like, I like to pretend it doesn't even exist.
It's atrocious.
And it's the one movie that they reference again in this movie.
Well, I guess, you know.
Well, because the Black Pearl is in the bottle, and Barbossa has Blackbeard's sword, and, you know.
Right.
I also kind of felt like Barbossa was kind of forced into this latest movie.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes his character feels forced in all of them except the first one.
I mean, that's the other great thing about the second one. And I think the reason why people think the second one's better than it is because of that last 10 seconds where he comes down the stairs.
It is pretty cool. I mean, I remember loving it.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I know you didn't love this movie. I gotta be honest with you, I thought it was a lot of fun.
I mean, it was fun, sure, but like, as a Captain Jack fan, I was disappointed in that.
Well, I mean, why is everything he has to do be heroic? Why can't he just sometimes, you know, fall into things?
Sometimes he can, but it was all the time.
Yeah, I know. Listen, they gave me a movie with two lead characters who I've never met before this movie, and I didn't hate them.
Yeah, so I didn't hate them either.
I applaud them for that, because in the last one, when they try and introduce new characters,
it's painful.
No, this is terrible. So in this, it worked.
Yeah, I don't hate this movie. I thought it was okay.
I had fun with it. I do remember, my buddy Sean, who you know Sean.
I know Sean, yeah. Sean who likes Final Crisis, yep.
Sean went to go see it right away. And he was like, hey, did you see Pirates? And I'm like, I didn't. Tell me is it good or bad? Because I knew I kind of wanted to go and I wanted to take Ethan. And he's like, I liked it, but I felt like I was in the theater for a week.
It was a long film.
So then my buddy Nolan, who you also know,
yes.
He went to go see it the same night. So I'm like, hey, did you see Pirates? He's like, I did. I liked it. I'm like, hey, Sean liked it too, but he said he felt like he was in the theater for a week. And he's like, he's totally right.
Yeah.
So it's the movie time, and it's only 2 hours and 9 minutes, which is about right. But it does feel really long, and I can't say that that's a positive for the movie.
Yeah. What did you think about Captain Salazar?
Yeah, whatever.
I think Javier Bardem did fine. I think he kind of approached it the way everyone approached being a 1966 Batman villain.
Yeah, totally.
Where it's like, I get to be zany and wacky and, this, that, and the other thing. I would have liked, I like the fight where him and Jack are like jumping from cannon to cannon between the two ships. Like, I liked that. But again, it was more of just Jack falling and bubbling and running away. Like,
yeah. I get that. I like the idea, though, that these characters have been driven mad by the sea. And not just in this movie, but, Davy Jones and other characters that we've had. I think it's a cool concept.
Will Turner, to an extent. We got to see a very little bit of him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in it, I guess.
Beginning and end, yeah. I liked that was kind of dry. I was expecting him to be a little bit more involved because his job is now to ferry the souls of the dead who are lost at sea to the underworld. Or whatever, wherever they go. And, the whole point of the villains in here is that they were killed at sea, like they're dead.
Right.
So.
It's interesting.
But, yeah, it didn't happen. You know what sequence I really didn't like? Where they steal the bank?
I don't mind that.
I thought that was dumb.
That's when I realized these are just pirate Fast and the Furious movies. they're insane, and there's stunts that go on, like the one with the guillotine, that you're like, this is completely illogical in every way, but I'm enjoying it.
I like the guillotine thing. That was actually kind of cool.
I know, but it was dumb at the same time, but I'm okay with it. I'm all right. It's a fun adventure movie.
All right, so we've got a few minutes left. I know it's not Disney, but... Do you want to talk about Wonder Woman real quick, or should we not do that on the show?
I mean, I'm okay with talking about it. Right. I really love it. So.
All right. Well, if you don't want to hear about Wonder Woman, if you're like, just Disney, nothing but Disney, you can fast forward a few minutes. I thought Wonder Woman was excellent.
It is wonderful.
And here's the thing, and not to get up on a soapbox and be preachy, but like, I like that she wasn't like objectified at all. Like she was just superhero.
Right.
There was no...
Well, with that director, I knew they weren't going to do anything.
Yeah,
like that.
And I mean, she did a masterful job directing
this movie.
Yeah, she
knew exactly what she was doing.
Yeah, the costumes were perfect. The Amazons were great. The mythology was there. I really liked Ares. The one twist that does happen in the movie, I guessed it in the beginning.
Yeah, of course.
A lot of people didn't. Like, when I said that, I guessed that, people were like, oh, really? Like, I didn't get that.
Oh. I mean, for me, it's the, it's the Law and Order theory of...
I thought Gal Gadot and Chris Pine, though. Chris Pine was unbelievable. And I was a little bitter about him being Steve Trevor.
I don't like Chris Pine even a little bit. And I thought he was great at this.
He was my pick for Hal Jordan. Like, I was just okay. Like, please let Captain Kirk be, Green Lantern. But I guess they would never have Captain Kirk be the Green Lantern.
He's my pick to never be in a comic book movie ever again. But
he was good.
I don't like him that much. But he's great in it. He's great. No denying it.
Yeah, he did. He
embraces
good.
The character. I will say that the thing that concerned me was, so Wonder Woman, kind of grows up away from the world of mankind. So inevitably, when she gets to be with, people, she's going to be extremely naive. And how are you going to pull that off? And I feel like they do it in a way that isn't annoying. Because tell me you couldn't see that becoming annoying quick.
Totally.
Like, she doesn't know what this is, and oh my gosh, she doesn't know what that is. Like, I feel like that's, like, just going to be terrible.
They took one bit, like, right from the comic books where she has the ice cream for the first time.
Yes.
And she tells the guy that he should be proud of his accomplishment. Yeah. It's great. You know, Geoff Johns must really love that scene a lot because he wrote it in the Justice League New 52, and then they put it in the Justice League War movie, cartoon movie, and then they put it in this movie again too.
You can make the case it works best in this movie.
Yeah,
I mean, Gal Gadot really like is Wonder Woman. It's fantastic. It's a great movie. Something I had no faith in whatsoever.
Her accent and, even works as the character too, because you know.
Yeah, they made it. Yeah, it's great.
She's no longer like Linda Carter, like Red, White, and Blue, Star Spangled Wonder Woman. Like she's a Greek demigoddess. Like that's exactly what she has to be, and her accent really kind of worked to separate her from the rest of mankind.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah, the Paradise Island stuff was awesome.
Well, I will say if you wanna nitpick this movie, the first half hour is the best half hour of the movie.
Is the best half hour?
Yeah,
I mean it's good.
Yeah, that Themyscira stuff's great.
Yeah, and it was very, very good. I like Themyscira.
You know, in that case, my fear going into this movie was that it was going to be Man of Steel, where, you know, the Krypton stuff is so cool. And then by the time you get here, the movie just loses steam, you know?
But it wasn't. That didn't happen.
No, it doesn't. You know, I mean, you can make the case that the middle's a little talky, but I got to be honest with you, there is a scene in this, the No Man's Land scene.
Oh,
for those of you who've seen it, that is so great. You're just like, oh, I mean, this movie has everything. It's wonderful.
Yeah. It is very much the, it's the injection in the arm that the DC cinematic universe needed more than anything.
Really? You think so?
Yeah.
If
everybody walked out of this movie saying this movie stinks and it had like a 20% Rotten Tomatoes score, that would have been it.
I'm going to tell you something. I think this has zero bearing. I think if this movie stunk, Warner's making these movies anyway. All their movies have stunk. I think they're going to still make Justice League and Justice League Part 2 and a Batman movie. I don't think it has any bearing on it. And if this movie's awesome, which it is, I don't mean
for the future of the movies being made. I just mean public perception in general.
Maybe. But I mean, honestly, this is a period piece. This movie has nothing to do with anything else.
It reminded me of a perfect mixture of the
Justice League would be like this.
What'd you say?
I wish Justice League would be like this. Yeah. It's not going to be.
It was a perfect combination to me of like Captain America, the First Avenger, and Thor.
Yeah, I mean, I told people, and you know, hold on to your hats, but I told people that this is like a good First Avenger. You know, I think it's just, you know, First Avenger lags in parts, and there's parts you don't care about, and I don't think your common person really relates too much to the Red Skull. So I think this movie has everything that movie's missing.
All right, I'll accept what you're saying, because you're my friend. So
listen, no Winter Soldier, but
of the three movies we've discussed today, which is your favorite?
Of the that's a great question. I'm going to say Pirates. No, just kidding. Man, you know, I'm going to say Wonder Woman, but I'm on a very Wonder Woman high right now.
Yeah,
really,
that's the thing with me. Like, I want to say Guardians, but like, I feel like I kind of have to say Wonder Woman.
I'm sure I like Guardians more.
Yeah.
But I just saw Wonder Woman this week, so I'm, you know, pretty into that.
I need to see Wonder Woman again to make sure it holds up.
Me too. You know, I went with my friends, and I know Heather kind of wanted to see it, but I think she was okay with letting me test the water. So when I came home, I was like, you know, you have to see this. And she's like, oh, I'll just see it when it comes to DVD. And I'm like, no, I really want to go see it again. So you have to go see this.
Pete's walking around the store right now. I just caught a flash of the TV. Watching little Gilmore's there?
No, I don't know it was Gilmore. It was the Penelope Lott episode.
Oh, we don't talk
now
about Penelope Lott.
Now it looks like this is a new show with Barry Watson called Date My Dad. I only know that because I've seen commercials while I'm watching Gilmore.
We don't talk to Penelope Lott. We don't refer to her as anything but Penelope Lott. We certainly don't call her almost mommy.
I love that episode. My wife hates that episode.
It's a great episode. It plays right into your whole Lorelai is an awful person theory.
She's a terrible person.
Yeah. All right.
She's a terrible person.
You ready to get out of here for this week?
Yeah, I am.
All right, folks. Well, in that case, that's going to do it for Two Men and the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. We're sorry that we've been away for so long. We are going to really make an attempt. I know I say this a lot, but we're really going to make an attempt to try to get the show back up to at least, you know, I never want to let more than 2 weeks go. So we can guarantee you at least every other week at this point. And we will strive for every week. We will be back next week. Hopefully, let's do a top 10 next week.
Oh, I like top 10.
Yeah, we'll let the audience vote over at our Facebook group. So,
okay,
folks, if you love
top
Peter Mandelin,
more characters.
Yep. What?
top 10 Gilmore characters?
You know. If you love Peter Mandel and his comic book store, check him out at Rogue Comics in Cranford, New Jersey, 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016, or go to roguecomics.com where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. If you're planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Adventures by Disney, any Disney resort throughout the known world, or Aulani out in Hawaii, please check out our good buddy and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Also, folks, if you are renting a Cribber stroller in Walt Disney World, check out our friends over at KingdomStrollers.com, who will rent you the Cribber strollers of crib or stroller of your dreams and deliver it right to your Disney resort. And folks, for me, please check out my books, the Rocinante series, which includes Rocinante and then the novella Wrath of the Faithful. I'm sorry, the novella The Decimation of Cassid and book 2, Wrath of the Faithful. Find more information on that on my website at authorkevinjkessler.com. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin J. Kessler and Facebook at facebook.com/KevinJKesslerAuthor. All right, well, that about does it for this week. Pete, any closing words?
No, I can't wait to do it again next week.
Yep, all right. Please, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives, and we will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.